Alright. Well, good morning. And I think it was just over a year ago. Did you guys build this platform higher? It seems higher. I don't know. So it was just over a year ago that I was with you, and it's good to be back. Pastor Dennis had gotten a hold of me a few weeks back and just asked if the schedule was free, and it was. And so I'm glad to be with you this morning, and just to worship with you here in Fertile today too. And so, Steve, good to see you again and your family. I know you weren't here last year. I think you were out of town, you had mentioned. And so, as Steve said, he knew my brother. My brother was older. So you know how the high school goes, right? I was younger, so you know that, right? Usually get to know the ones older, but the younger ones, like, oh yeah, those are just underclassmen, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. So, but it is good to see you again, Steve, and others as well. So I try to remember names as best I can, but again, we'll do that. So again, my name is Mark, and I am from Thief River and currently living there as well. And it's good, nice that it's close so we can be with you. And again, I had a chance to meet a few of you before the service, and obviously we won't do this today just because of time, but I like to usually go around and just get to know people, you know, like one at a time, just what's your name, tell me a little bit about yourself. So let's just try this, see if I can get names down. We'll just, everybody all at once on the count of three, just give me your first name, okay? So 1, 2, 3. All right, it's good to meet you all. So I won't remember them all, but we'll try. And hopefully afterwards we'll have a few minutes to just visit as well. And also, this morning, just a couple of things. We are just truly trusting that God's going to lead today. I forgot my glasses, so I have my notes here that I wrote those. I always write those a little bigger so I can see those without my glasses. But otherwise, I think I have most of the scripture that'll be on the screen, so that'll be good. And then also, I have my timekeeper here. Actually, my wife borrowed me her phone, the timekeeper. But I don't know if you've heard pastors say with a watch, you know, they'll usually put the time there in the watch. And you know what that means to a pastor? Absolutely nothing. So just so you know. But it's here, just in case. We'll be mindful of that too. So, but again, good to be with you. As I was thinking about this morning and began praying about, Lord, what do you want me to share? You know, what should we talk about today? And this is a passage that I've looked at before and a number of times, but just that passage in Luke chapter 10 just came to mind as one to share about. And as I think about that, it's really a passage that talks about the devotion in our hearts to the Lord Jesus, to Him, and just focusing on our relationship with Him and worshiping Him. And I know for me, it's just an area in my life, and I think probably for all of us, that we just seek to continue to grow in all the time, to seek to continue to live for Him, to grow in our relationship with Him. And so even as I share today, it's really as someone just seeking to learn and grow in my own life as well. And a lot of times what people say about speaking or preaching, teaching, is a lot of times the teacher learns really the most. And if you've had whoever's had opportunity to teach, is that true? The teacher just learns really more than anybody else because you're digging into it as well. So this morning, I just want to start with a story from a worship pastor. His name is Bob Coughlin, and I don't know if you've heard that name or not. Maybe some of you have heard that name. He wrote a book called Worship Matters, and he was a worship pastor, and he had gotten a dream job that he had always wanted. It was with a national ministry, and he was the director of worship development. And he just felt like, oh, this is just such a great chance just to share what God has taught me in my life about worship, to share with others, to study worship further, to really help worship teams learn and grow. And this story really can apply to all of us. It just happens that he was involved with worship. And he just hoped that he could be an example to others as he thought about that. And at one of the conferences that this ministry held, he was leading worship. And so the worship team, you know, is hundreds of people there. the worship team came in, and you know, there was just a lot of excitement in the room. People were, he just had this sense, he writes, that people are ready to worship. They're ready to just praise God and just to sing and just to celebrate the Lord Jesus. And as he walked in, he goes, every heart was ready to praise God. He goes, and he says, well, almost everyone. But he was sure that no one could really tell what he was thinking. Bob writes in his book that he suddenly found himself having doubts, asking, what difference will this make? He said that it all felt pointless or dry, and he just wondered, where had the joy gone in this? He goes on to write that after years of leading worship, he realized that worship is not just the opportunity to use his musical gifts, and we could say that about whatever talents that we have. It's not just about that, but it's about what we live for. It's about who we are before God. He writes in his book that this book is filled with practical ideas, preparations for leading worship, but that is not where we start because there's so much more at stake. As he recounted that night, and he wondered if worship was empty, he said it's definitely not because God is the one that is worthy of our praise and worship. And God had graciously reminded him that without God, that's exactly what worship would be, is empty. And he goes on to ask the question, what's the biggest thing that we can do in leading worship? Is it all the preparations, like picking the songs, making the schedules? And he said, no, the biggest thing we can do is to prepare our hearts. In his life, he learned that the primary concern cannot be the preparation, but the primary concern is the state of his heart before God. And now, as I said, I know this story is about leading worship, but I think we can apply this to any area of our lives. Just kind of fill in, Lord, what is it in my life? You know, is it ministry in church? Is it my job? Or whatever it is, Lord, you know, what are the preparations or whatever it is, the primary concern still needs to be our heart before God and seeking after him. You know, what is the posture of our hearts? Are we letting things distract us from seeking the Lord first, from taking time to truly listen to him in our lives, to come before him with an open heart, to learn from his word, whether that's on a Sunday morning as we gather together, or if it's at home, in our own time with the Word, or with our families. And again, I think this passage of Scripture that Steve read just a bit ago, that we're going to look at, really seeks to address that issue. And again, it's been my prayer these days that as we look at this passage, that it'll just cause us to grow, each of us to grow in our own relationship with the Lord Jesus, and grow in our walk with him. So as we open up, let's just pray together as we open his word. So Father, we do come before you. And Lord, we just ask that you would guide us, that you would truly lead us as we look at your word together this morning. And Father, that you would just be teaching each one of us. And so we just ask for that, for your spirit just to be moving and working in our hearts, that your word would be go out and just speak that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So just to set the scene a little bit of this passage, you know, we see Jesus traveling through the town of Bethany, and, you know, and it just kind of lays it out pretty short and really right to the point. As Jesus was traveling through that town, and there were probably others that were traveling with him. It seemed that wherever he was, his disciples were with, or others were with that were learning from him and just seeking to hear him teach and to hear him speak, to see the wonderful things, the miracles that he did. And again, as he came to Bethany, we see this family there. Mary, Martha, their brother Lazarus, even though he's not mentioned in this passage. But we really can see that as we look at other scripture passages, that he was friends with his family, that he cared about them and loved them. We can see the friendship that Jesus had with them. And again, as we look at a couple other passages, I think John 11, 1 through 5, if you want to maybe go forward a couple of slides here, I think I have that one on there. John 11, 1 through 5, that we talk about, that Jesus talks about that as well. There we are. It says, "Now a certain man named Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So again, we can see that relationship. And then the next slide, I think, is John 12, 1 through 3. "Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So he made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." And again, the main point that we want to see here is that Jesus had a friendship, had a relationship with his family. So as he came through Bethany, you know, it's not uncommon that he would have stopped there to see them. And so now in our passage, whether Jesus just came to their home or as he was passing through and Martha saw him, it doesn't really define that. But the important thing that we can see here is that Martha was excited to have him into the home. She immediately invited him to come, and those traveling with, "Come and come to our home. Come and have a meal with us. Come and, you know, come and dine. Come and visit," whatever that was. And no matter what the situation, from the passage we can tell that there were plenty of preparation, plenty of things that needed to be done for this meal. And you know, the same could be true for us, right? If you've ever had a friend stop by, maybe it was even planned from out of town, or maybe just an unannounced visit. What do you do when people come over, when they're passing through? You open the door and you say, "Come in. Let's catch up on what's been happening, right? Let's talk about what you've been up to." You know, even Steve and I did just a bit of that this morning in the few minutes we visited. You know, "Hey, what have you been up to? Where do you live now? What's happening in your life?" And we do that with our friends, right? But sometimes there's plenty of preparations that we begin to do. We begin to hurry about and get things ready. And it seems like when they leave, it's like, "Oh, I didn't get to visit because I was so busy with the coffee and the food and this and that." It's like we miss out on what we were to catch up on. And just a quick story. This happened to my wife and I, Kim, a few years back. We had a family friend. They were at a wedding near our town where we lived at that time. And they had called us ahead of time and said, "Hey, my wife and I are going to this wedding. Can we stay?" You know, because they had something else the next day close by. And I said, "Oh, sure, that'd be great. We'll have dinner and coffee." And so we thought it was just going to be Paul and his wife, Carol, that came. And so they knocked on the door, and, you know, it was just Paul and his wife were at the door. It's like, "Yeah, come on in." And they kind of looked out to the van and kind of, you know, waved. And it was like, all right. And so Paul and Carol's family vehicle is a 15-passenger van, so just to give you a little idea. And so all of a sudden, these kids started coming in, right, and kept coming. And they're older, younger, and they had friends with. And my wife and I are going like, wow. And so, you know, what did we start doing, right? Get the air mattresses out, pull out the couch, you know, blankets, you know, how are we going to work all this? And okay, now we got to make more breakfast. And really, by the time that ended, we didn't even really get to visit with Paul and Carol, just because we were busy with everything that had to be done. And I'm guessing you've experienced the same at one time or another. So Martha here, with her heart of hospitality, welcomes Jesus and her friends in as they travel, prepare a meal for them or something. Now here, so this house full of people, Martha's busy hurrying and cooking and preparing the meal for these people. And with all the work, that she didn't take the time to spend with him, to spend with Jesus, to listen to him, to learn from him. And so as we look at verse 39 and 40, just let me put this a little bit in my own words. So, you know, after, as Martha's busy doing this, getting things ready, she maybe starts to look around and ask herself, "Well, where's Mary at anyway? You know, she needs to be helping me. I'm doing all, there's people here that we got a lot to do. We have to get ready for them. And I think we can really tell Martha, just from the other passage that we read, that she serves meal. You know, in John 12, she served supper. She served a meal. And so this is just who she is. You know, it's not a bad rap on her, but this is who she is. So she's busy serving this and getting things ready for this travelers. And she's looking around for Mary. And, you know, maybe she spots her when she comes out of the kitchen or something. It's like, why is Mary just sitting there? So maybe she grabs the plates, you know, and kind of comes out. And I'm sure nobody's done this, right? But maybe she sets them down a little extra hard to try to get her attention, right? And goes back in, comes back out. Maybe it's something else. It's like, you know, Mary, can you come here a minute? And, you know, Mary probably just kind of, well, no, I'm listening here. And, you know, maybe on each time out, she gets a little more obvious, like, what's going on? You know, and again, maybe you've been there, just so busy and nobody else is helping out. One of the things that came to mind as an illustration is maybe Thanksgiving time. This last Thanksgiving with our family, we had a great time, but the house, the siblings that were hosting that were so busy in the kitchen all day, and we offered help, so I'll get that out there, but yet they were just so busy that we didn't even get to visit with them at all during that. And maybe some of you have experienced that same thing. So we can get a little feel for maybe what Martha was feeling. You wanted to be a part of it. You wanted to be visiting and partaking in the games or whatever was going on, but there's all this stuff that had to be done. And by the time people leave, you feel like, oh, I didn't even get to talk. I didn't even get to catch up. I didn't get to hear what was going on. So Martha here in this passage says in verse 40, you know, she's like she could just take it no more. She turns to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this serving alone? And then tell her to help me. So the way that Martha was phrasing this question, she was expecting Jesus to say, Mary, go help your sister. But Jesus responded so differently than that, than she expected. But he graciously speaks to her and just says, Martha, Martha, you know, you're just, there's so many things that you're worried and troubled by. So many things, but there's only one thing necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part. And we see that in verse 39. And where was Mary? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, just taking it in. And many of us probably put ourselves in Martha's shoes and know that there are things that we've allowed to distract us from taking that time to listen to Jesus, to listen to his words, to be with him through reading his word. And from the passage today, there's just a couple of main points that I want to bring out. The first is in these first verses, and it really says, distractions hinder us from listening to Jesus. And that's what we've been talking about. You know, and in this passage, it doesn't say that what Martha was doing was wrong or it was sinful or anything like that. But the point that we want to bring out is that all the preparations that she had underway were distracted her from listening to Jesus. They pulled her away. They drew her attention away from him, and she was just so focused on all the things that she had to do. I looked up the word, you know, what does distracted mean? And really the meaning is just that. It says pulled away by something. Pulled away by something. You know, whatever that might be in our lives. But for Martha, it was all the serving that was taking place. And I think, you know, it really leads us to ask the question of ourselves. What are the things in our lives, you know, the distractions, whether that's the task, the schedules, our work, busyness, what is it that keep us from listening to Jesus? Taking time to be in his word and prayer, just on our own or with our families, or even settings like this, worshiping and fellowshipping together. What are the things that distract us? Now, it doesn't mean that these tasks or preparations are wrong or that they don't need to be taken care of, but are they pulling us away from being with Jesus? Are they pulling us away from spending time with him? Get so busy with the with the preparations that we don't allow Jesus to prepare our heart to serve him. And I'll just share from my own life. I was, a number of years ago, I was serving in a church in the Alexandria, Glenwood, Minnesota area, and there was a lot of things that had to be done for ministry. We had actually just planted another church out and from our church, and so there's really two churches, and there's many things that had to be done. And myself, I can slip into that, just getting so busy and so focused on, I've got to do this and this and this. I have my checklists out, and I'm marking them off and everything like that. And I really got to that point as well, just like Steve Coughlin or Bob Coughlin had said in his book, where had all the joy gone? Where had the joy gone in living for the Lord and serving him and being with others, just in fellowship? And as I look back, it's like I needed to take time to just be with Jesus. It doesn't mean that I took hours and hours on end, but just to be in his word, just to be allowing his word to minister to me and to prepare my heart, instead of worrying and being focused on worrying about all these things that had to be done. They still had to get done, but I was approaching them in the wrong heart, the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective. I first had to go to his word and spend time with him and just to seek him first. And so again, what are the things in our lives? These preparations, yeah, and they probably need to be done. They're not bad things, but are we so consumed by them, so focused that they pull us away from our relationship with the Lord? They cause worry, they cause anxiety, and we don't find our rest, we don't find that joy, that peace in our walk with the Lord. And an additional point that I want us to see just in verse 40 is this, that these preparations, these distractions, they seem to have an effect on Martha's relationship with Mary. It doesn't say in there, but yet, maybe she was looking at her a bit cross-eyed. She goes out and, asks Jesus, well, tell Mary to help me, is basically what she was saying. So when she got her focus off of the Lord, it started to affect her relationship with other people. As we get distracted from spending our time with Jesus, it does have that effect, first on our relationship with him, and then it can also impact our relationship with one another, in our families, in the church. And I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I'm guessing we've maybe all experienced that at one time in one way or another. And one last thing I wanted to show from these verses before we just briefly look at our last point is this, that in these first verses, that these distractions have caused Martha to be worried and troubled, to be anxious about serving, and it just brought worry into her life. And when we look at verse 41 and 42, we see that. But the Lord had answered Martha and said, you're worried and bothered by so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. And one of the cross references I just want to look at briefly, it's the parable of the seed and the soils. And I think we have that right here. It said the seed was the word of God, and that in the parable it falls on rocky ground and it doesn't take root. But here it says the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard and the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. So we can see that when we have those worries, it chokes out what God's word can do in our life. So we're letting those worries, those things we're anxious about, distract us, choke out God's word from growing in that good soil, allowing those fruits of the Spirit in our life to continue to grow. And, so when we look at those worries, and I've experienced that in my life as well, but Jesus, just in his gentle way, just goes, Martha, you're worried about so many things, but focus on me, on my word, on my truth. There's a couple of verses that I used in my life, and I continue to use when I get those anxious times. 1 Peter 5:7, it just says, cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. And Philippians 4:6-7, says this: "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And those are just verses that, if you struggle with that, anxious or worries, just commit those to memory. And so Jesus reminds Martha, he reminds us, just to be listening to him, to his word. And that just leads us to this last point, which we'll just touch on briefly. The last point that I wanted to hit says, devoting ourselves to listen to Jesus through his word and through prayer. And in verse 42, that's what Jesus goes on to say to Martha: "But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her." Mary chose that which was truly beneficial, that one thing that will help her heart to not be distracted and divided. Her priority was first and foremost to be seeking Jesus in her life. Now, we don't have time this morning to go through all the verses of Scripture, and maybe you can think of many that talk about, you know, seeking Jesus first. You know, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And in this passage, we see the heart of Jesus and his desire for us, that our hearts are seeking him, as he tells Martha that there is one thing that is necessary. It's taking God's word into our lives and listening to him. And just to talk briefly about that, in verse 39, that's where we find Mary. And a couple of things about just that verse. We see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. First, it's just her posture there. In that culture at that time, as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, really what she was doing was just showing her submission to him as a student, as a disciple, saying, "Lord, I just want to learn from you." And so she was there with her heart open, ready to learn what God would be teaching her. And so what's our posture before the Lord this morning? Are we open when we come to him, ready to learn, ready to seek him? And a second thing here that we see is Mary is listening to his word. And, excuse me, I looked up that word listening to get the really definition. And it's not just hearing the words, but what the definition says, it's hearing something with thoughtful attention. And so Mary is doing much more than just like hearing the words, but she was taking them to heart. She was allowing God's word to change her, to transform her. And I think we have Romans 12, 1 and 2 up here. This is just a great verse that talks about this. "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." That idea of being transformed by God's word, allowing it to change us, to change our hearts, to change our lives, to live for him. And just wanted to share, in as we get ready to close here, just one commentator says this. He goes, "To receive the doctrine of Jesus, to receive his words, is better than any work, labor, sacrifice, or suffering. To close the ear, to turn the heart away, no matter what the cause, is bound to be fatal, for it shuts off the life stream on which our faith depends." And we can find many passages in Scripture that talk about that. In the book of John, Peter said to Jesus, said, "You have the words of eternal life. Where will we go? Where else would we go except to follow you?" In the Scripture, God reveals himself to us. John 3:16, a familiar verse, tells about his love for us that we talked about at communion, his love for us that he died on the cross to meet that need that we can't meet on our own, that separation we had from God. He died on the cross, so if we put our faith and trust in him, that he will save us, that he'll become our Savior and renew that relationship. In 2 Timothy, it talks about God's word equips us and prepares us for all that he has for us. His word is the truth. What better place for us to be but listening to him through his word through prayer as we seek to live for him. And as Romans 12, 1 and 2, renewing our minds in his word and allowing his word to transform us. And just the last point in verse 42 that we see here is that Mary had chosen the best part, sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in his word, and finding her rest in him, her joy in him. And she put a priority of that in her life, listening to Jesus. And this passage ends with that great assurance that this will not be taken from her. And I think what is getting at there is that God's word will be at work in her life. It will not be void, that it will continue to work. And just as a couple points of application, you know, it can be easy for us at the conclusion just to say, spend time in the word and prayer, listening to Jesus. And that's good for us to do. But let me just highlight a couple of things. You know, for some of us, it might be a matter of just making that choice of spending time in the word. Just saying, I need to just do it. I need to open the word and be reading it. And as I was thinking about that, you know, how important it is to listen to God and to take in his word in our lives. It's a thought, at least for my life, came to me. It's not how much I read. It's not if I read 10 chapters a day or one or five. But it's more of, as I open the word, you know, I usually will want to take a block of time or some time to do that. But to say, Lord, what do you want to teach me today through your word? What is your truth saying, and how does my life, how does that apply to my life? What is your truth saying, how does that apply to my life today? And so just asking that question, Lord, how do you want me to grow? How do you want me to change? Instead of saying, I read three chapters today. And, you know, and again, maybe that's how we need to start. I'm going to read a chapter a day or 10 verses a day. I had a mentor of mine that called that in his life. He said, reading God's word went from duty to delight. Maybe it started out, it felt like more like a duty. But as the more he opened it every day, it just was a delight. It was a joy. He just couldn't wait in the morning to get up and get into the word. For others here, maybe we first have to release our worries. There's a friend of ours in the Evangelical Free Church. His name is Jim Anderson. He does what he calls Sabbath rest retreats. And just a quick outline that he uses is he said, as we go to God, we might have to first release those worries, things that we can't do anything about anyway, and to say, Lord, take those worries, take those cares from me. And then after that, he says that we have to, release our worries, and that we have to review our own life before the Lord and say, Lord, what areas do you want me to grow in my life? And then to remember what God has done for us, to look back on our lives and say, Lord, you have been faithful in so many ways. And then finally, in my own time with the Lord, some of the things that have helped me in my life are using a reading plan or devotional book. And one thing that has been very helpful, it was given to me a number of years ago, it was just a simple page of paper with just a list of questions on. So as I read a chapter, it'll just ask, you know, who are the main people in this chapter? You know, what are they doing? You know, what is God teaching them through this? Or what's Jesus saying in his teaching? And it just asks a series of questions that just take us right through, that takes you just right through the chapter. And it's just been great that way, because it just makes you dig just a little bit more and see what's going on there. And I didn't bring any of those with, but maybe next week I can bring those with if anybody interested in one of those pages as well. And just to see how God's word applies to my life. And finally, I didn't bring this with today, but I was at a teaching conference a number of years ago, and the pastor was teaching on this passage. And at the end of the last page of his handout, he just had a number of things like this. And he used teaching or preaching as the main point, but we could apply it to any area of our life. He said, if I allow distractions of, you know, busyness, or if I allow distractions of being critical of others, or if I allow distractions of, you know, poor me, just having a pity time thinking about myself, he goes, if I allow those things to get in the way, he goes, I'm not prepared to teach. He goes, if I am not spending God's time in God's word, if I allow these distractions, he goes, I'm not prepared to teach. And you could just fill in the blank. If you allow distractions of, you know, busyness or, you know, thoughts or whatever it might be, are you prepared to whatever it is that God is calling you to do in your work, in your family, in the church, whatever it is? And we just want, my encouragement would just say that we need to be listening to Jesus through his word, through prayer, through fellowship. See what difference that makes in our lives and allow that to prepare us to serve him as we go out. And just like Mary and Martha, really too, but just like Mary, just listening to his word and allowing it to have an impact in our lives. So let's pray. Father, we do come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for your word, your truth today. And Father, I do pray that you would be at work in our hearts and in our lives through your word. Father, for each of us here, Lord, I pray that you would just minister to us through that and through your word in our lives, God. And might you just encourage us, Lord, whether just a daily time of being with you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll ask the ushers to come forward for the offering.